Beautiful people, hello and welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor, and as Michael often says, we have a packed show for you today, so I want to dive right in. We're going to begin with a powerful new piece called State of Emergency, Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free. This piece is written and read by Bob Avakian. He is a revolutionary leader. He's the architect of the new communism. And this piece is going to be followed by a discussion that I had with Andy Z, who is the host of the Revolution Nothing Less show, the YouTube show. After that, Andy and I'll get into the question of why right now there is the potential for millions and millions throughout this society to take up the demand for a whole new way to live and for a fundamentally different system, a system that can only be realized through an actual revolution, why we are in a period where that revolution is more possible, but will only become real if millions wake up and are shaken out of their stupor and sleepwalking, going along with the norms of this system as they are being blown up by fascists and white supremacists and MAGA morons who are vying for a new civil war. So we are in a state of emergency indeed. So completely related to this, we're going to then hear an answer from Bob Avakian speaking to the question that is often asked to revolutionaries like myself. Well, revolution sounds good, but how could it happen? The forces for revolution are so small. So we'll play Bob Avakian's answer to that from the Bob Avakian interviews on the Revolution Nothing Less show. And this will be followed by Atlas Winfrey sharing some personal reflections on the impact of Bob Avakian's leadership and these interviews. And finally, we'll share an excerpt from the documentary film Stepping into the Future. So with that, let's jump right in with State of Emergency, Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free, by Bob Avakian.
State of Emergency, Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free, a message from Bob Avakian, revolutionary leader, author, and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. State of emergency. State of emergency. Masses of people are demoralized and disoriented, robbed of real hope, chasing after deadly illusions, desperately clinging to things that are not real, indulging in trivial pursuits while stubbornly refusing to face the biggest reality, striving to turn degradation into capital, bitterly divided and beefing over bullshit, trying to make a mark by mocking and even murdering each other. Chain, chain, chain.
Chain, chain, chain.
Chain of foolishness. Today, so many are caught up in the 3M&P. What is the 3M&P? Me, me, me. Money, money, money. Misogyny and patriarchy. All ways of thinking and acting that reflect and reinforce this system of capitalism imperialism that so viciously oppresses people here and all over the world. All constantly promoted and pumped out in the popular culture.
This country, you've got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
Including in hip-hop. How this came to dominate hip-hop and how it has actually perverted this creative art form.
What I really want to see is the money. I don't really need to be any the
money. Which could be and should be a powerful voice for liberation.
Fight the power.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
That is another story, which has everything to do with how things are ultimately controlled by the ruling powers that dominate overall in this sick system of capitalism imperialism. These are real chains on people, especially those most terribly, murderously oppressed under this system. Misogyny, hating women, and subjecting them to degradation in countless ways. Patriarchy.
But females are barely sentient.
Females don't have independent thought. They don't come up with anything. They're just empty vessels.
Relations in which men are regarded as superior to women and hold power over them, while LGBT people are treated as illegitimate and objects of hatred, abuse, and scorn. Then there is the BEB. What is BEB? Bourgeois electoral bullshit. The ridiculous idea that you change this system that viciously preys on you, and millions and billions of people like you in this country and all over the world, by voting for this group or that group of bourgeois capitalist vultures. And what is another big chain on people, supposedly easing but really perpetuating the pain of feeling hopeless and powerless to put an end to the suffering that so many are afflicted by today? Religion. What is religion? Organized promotion of the belief that things have been created and are controlled by one or another God, which in reality does not exist and has been invented by people, with so many taught to believe that if things are the way they are, it is the will of this supposed God.
You may feel dislocated. You may feel dislodged. You can't always see what the master is doing. Only when we look back, then we see that God had a plan.
As I have written before, while upholding people's right to religion and uniting with religious people who take positive stands in the fight against oppression, it is crucially important to consistently and resolutely struggle for a scientific, not a religious, method and approach to reality, and wage a fierce, relentless fight against anti-scientific poison spread among the masses of people in the name of religion. Learn to live in chains, bow down to those enforcing the chains, boast about and sing praises to the chains, or break all the chains. That is the choice. I know some people don't like it when I say all this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because as a revolutionary dedicated to the emancipation of humanity from every chain that holds people down, I recognize the responsibility to tell people the truth, even if it offends some at first. And all you who also know this is true, you need to say it too. Say it loud. It is time, and long past time, to break these mental chains, to get in position to break all the chains of the modern day slavery of this system of capitalism imperialism. It is time to take up the scientific outlook, method, strategy, and program, morality and values that can lead people to finally get free, the new communism. It is time to become revolutionary emancipators of humanity. Hard truth, liberating truth.
All right, that was State of Emergency, Chains on People Who Desperately Need to Be Free. That piece was written and read by Bob Avakian. And we are going to go right now to a discussion between Andy Z, the host of the Revolution Nothing Less show at youtube.com/therevcoms, and myself. Let's listen.
That was Bob Avakian, State of Emergency, Chains on the People Who Desperately Need to Be Free. Download the PDF of that on our website, revcom.us, and get it out to your friends. And I want to remind you what he said in the middle of that piece. Learn to live in chains, bow down to those enforcing the chains, boast about and sing praises to the chains, or break all the chains. That is the choice. And then he finished by saying, it's time to become revolutionary emancipators of humanity. Hard truth, liberating truth. Sansara?
People need to let that sink in. And definitely, like you said, print it out, spread it, share it with friends, get it up on the walls. People need to be challenged by this. He says in the title and in the piece, it's a state of emergency. And that's true. And at the opening of the show, you spoke to a great dimension of this emergency is that this system has always been a nightmare for masses of people here and all over the world. But it is accelerating towards something truly terrible. The norms, the society is being ripped apart. The rulers are at each other's throats. A section of society is preparing for a fascist, white supremacist, civil war, genocidal, atrocities against everybody they hate. And among our side, among those who desperately need to be free, people are not thinking the right way. They are not even thinking about revolution, about becoming emancipators of humanity, like you said. And we have got to be on a mission to change that. So we want to really highlight, I mean, you said it at the beginning of the show, but we want to bring this out again, this proclamation. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. This proclamation, which distills the future that we're fighting for, that's actually possible in a period like this, a revolution that could be made out of the contradictions that are ripping society apart right now, if we get to work, this needs to be known and put before millions. And the demand that it puts forward, where it says, we declare and we demand the existing capitalist imperialist system and institutions of government in this country must be abolished and dismantled and replaced by a new socialist system based on the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America, which I'm holding up. This needs to be a demand that is known by millions and soon taken up by millions, and it can be in a period like this if we fight for it.
Yeah, you know, the whole piece begins with two paragraphs, one that says in the name of the people, the other that says in the name of humanity, and describes what people suffer in this country and around the world, the billions of people for whom life is an unending misery and the threat to all of humanity. And there's two things about that I just want to bring out now that relate to what you just said, Sansara. One is that this is for all of humanity, and especially for those who are so oppressed by this humanity, the millions of children, hundreds of millions of children who die every year from the workings of the system, the hundreds of millions who are forced to labor in the mines and child labor and factories all across what's called the third world, and to the people here who are discarded by this system, the black and brown youth who are treated as useless because they can't be profitably employed in this system. But the other point of this is what you just got to, which I think is very important. When you talked about the kind of crisis that we're going through right now, that is emerging, when people could begin to see through each of these things, rights taken away, the contention at the top of society, the brutality, and especially this at the top of society where they can't even agree on anything. And things are paralyzed, and this fascist movement is straining to take power again, one way or another. And in response to this drive for full fascist power by the Trump Republican Fascist Party, the Democrats have no answer. They're defenders of this system. They want to return to the way things have been, but that's already been discarded. That will have already been discarded by these fascists. And in that situation, you have a potential void, but only if there's masses of people prepared to fight for a different future. And in that situation, in the name of the people, in the name of humanity, this proclamation, this declaration could become the demand of millions of people. But we have to be on the scene. Millions of people have to learn about this now. There have to be a force of thousands in the field who are fighting for this, especially drawn from the most oppressed people, as well as people more generally, and the youth from all over the country, in different parts of the country, in that deepening and sharpening crisis, this declaration, this manifesto, this constitution could become and needs to become the demand of millions of people. And then there'll be the potential for an actual revolution.
Yeah, thousands need to get with it, and tens of thousands, and soon many more than that to become a force fighting for this. One of the things that is put forward so powerfully in this proclamation is that as long as we are forced to live under this system of capitalism, imperialism, as long as we're continuing to live under its rule, we, the RevComs, and everybody who wants a different future together with us needs to stand up and defend the rights of the people that are supposedly protected in the U.S. Constitution. We need to stand up against the assaults on people's rights and their very lives, the attacks on LGBTQ people, the assault on women's right to abortion, the massive terror against Black and brown youth by those in uniform and those fascists out of uniform, the mass killings we're seeing, all of this, people need to stand up against it today. But fundamentally, we need a different constitution and a different system, because under the U.S. Constitution, and people need to be, they need to be woken up to this. You can never bring about the liberation. You can never bring about the ending of white supremacy, the liberation of women, a solution to the environmental catastrophe, because this U.S. Constitution is not only written by slave owners and exploiters, but protects the interests of the capitalist exploitation, the ruling capitalist structures and system. It treats humanity, human beings, like you were saying, as means to pursue and accumulate profit for big time exploiters, or to be thrown away completely, which is what we see. This, we can never achieve a future that we need. We need a different constitution and a whole different society and vision of freedom, actually.
Yeah, look, this constitution will empower
this one. The new one.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
The new constitution for a new socialist republic in North America is one where it's aiming at overcoming all forms of slavery and exploitation and oppression based on class, race, sex, gender, all relations in which one part of humanity is subordinated to and dominated by others. It's, again, it's a whole other conception of power, of political power, not political power to protect the rights of a small class of capitalist exploiters, but one that's going to empower the masses of people to carry out the revolutionary transformation of society and to contribute to that all around the world. And this is something we're going to get today. We should get a little bit more into it, Sansara. But I just want to really just pause on that, to carry out the revolutionary transformation of society. In other words, a new society, a constitution that backs up the people in their struggle to overcome oppression rather than contain the people and repress them. I read in today's newspaper, in the New York Times, that the police department in New York has now set a four-stage way to deal with
protesters. Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to kettle anymore. But you read the new four-step thing, and it's the same thing. We have to stop people from seriously struggling to fight for their basic rights. Well, we have to stop them from having their system and their constitution dictate to us that we can't fight for and can't have the rights that people deserve to be fully human beings. This constitution enables the people to do just that. So let's get into it a bit more.
Yeah, this constitution, again, the constitution for the new socialist republic in North America.
You're worried that I'm defending the U.S. constitution.
I'm not worried, but so many people have never even considered a different constitution.
Right.
When you hear constitution, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, of course, the U.S. constitution, the greatest document ever written. No, a slave-owning exploiter's vision of freedom and document, which is enforcing all the horrors that people are living under today. When we are fighting for this constitution, for the new socialist republic in North America, the institutions, the economy, the form of government, and the ways of people relating to each other that's detailed in this in great depth, but also that's distilled in this proclamation, which needs to get up on walls, needs to get out hand to hand, needs to get out by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions. And right in the middle, it distills down 6 points from the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America that bring alive what this will make possible. And the very first one is a whole new dimension of freedom and rights of the people. And you touched on this a little, but I want to say it again, that it lays out the role of government institutions established in this new socialist society, including the police and military, will no longer be to contain, to control, to repress the masses of people, to enforce relations of exploitation and oppression, the way it is under this U.S. capitalist imperialist society and their constitution. Instead, in the new socialist republic, the police, the military, the institutions of government and enforcement will back the masses of people up in struggling to overcome and uproot all forms of oppression, all exploitation, all the terror that's been inflicted on women over millennia, all of the bigotry and hatred against LGBTQ people, all of the degradation and violence against Black people, the humiliation that's enforced on Black people, Native American people, other people of color, other oppressed people, all of this, masses will be backed up when they struggle against it, and when they challenge tradition, and when they bring forward new ideas. And even more than that, there will be protection, not only protection, but fostering and soliciting of people to really have the right to speak their minds freely, to criticize what's going on, including what's going on with the government, including what the communists are doing, and to debate out the future direction. Because without that, you won't have the atmosphere you need for people to play a full role in exactly what you said and what this Constitution guarantees is the most fundamental right of all, the right of the people to play a determining role and shaping the future direction of society in order to overcome all oppression and exploitation. This is so different than how we're forced to live today.
And it's different from any previous constitution anywhere, including the previous socialist states that existed in the 20th century. It gives people, and this is a very important part of the new communism, it'll give this protection, constitutional and institutionalized protection for the right of people to dissent and to discuss, and the encouragement, the support for it, and the funding for it, which is written right into the Constitution, is part of creating the atmosphere, the air to breathe, so that people can discover the truth. And this is a big part of what Bob Avakian has developed in the whole methodology of people coming together, collectively discover the truth, what's actually objectively happening, what's the cause of the problems that we face, and how we're going to discover together, and then go to work on overcoming these forms of oppression, which you can't do under this system. And in fact, their police enforce that you can't do that, whereas our security forces will work to be sure that we can do that. You know, we had a picnic this weekend, and some people came and it was the first time they'd heard about all this, and they said, well, are there just 6 points in this Constitution. We said, oh, no, this is just 6 points we've pulled out from the Constitution. There's a whole thing here. But these 6 points do let you know something very important, that there is actually a whole different way of approaching things. Healthcare to serve the people, education to actually educate and empower the masses of people, eliminating discrimination and inequality and oppression in every form, abolishing nuclear weapons, and finally abolishing war altogether, and systematically addressing the environmental catastrophe that we are facing. So this is a very important declaration that people need to see now. It has to get in the hands of lots of people. Not everybody's going to agree with it. A lot of times people may not even fully get it as something that could really be. It's possible to achieve this. But with this getting out among people, and with people getting organized and defending the people and becoming a force in society and impacting society by taking bold stands, which the RevCom's do, and we've reported on this RNL show, people can start looking at this in increasing numbers.
Especially as society is being shaken up and they're being forced to think about things right in a new way. Yeah.
And that is all, state what might be obvious, but it's probably not, that this is coming to a head with the 2024 election. As I said earlier in the opening, these fascists are moving to seize power, to regain that power. And there's a clash happening in society. The question is, will it just be between sections of the ruling class and people lining up behind one or the other? Or will the people, a significant number of people numbered in their millions, see that's our opportunity to fight for a new society governed by this constitution for a new socialist republic?
So, with that in mind, and with the very real charge that this has to be something that we fight, including you, to take out to millions right now, to take up as their actual demand, you may be asking yourself, and a lot of people do ask, well, how would you ever get in position to really do that? The RevComs are so small right now. Those who know about revolution are so few. We had the chance last fall to ask this question to Bob Avakian, and from in the interviews that we did with him, we want to play that right now.
You know, some of the people who have been active going out to organize people with that understanding have raised to us that, yeah, but the people say to us, they look out there and they say, you people don't have that many people right now. You're kind of small. And not only that, there's not really the kind of mass resistance we need. And so how are you going to do that? Yeah, what you're talking about sounds good, but it ain't going to happen. What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, a lot of times it looks like something's not going to happen until the night before it does happen. You know, that's one thing to understand, and that has meaning. It's not just a clever thing to say. You know, this is a time of, you know, when things are being accelerated at an increasing pace, you know, and changes. I mean, who anticipated a year ago even that they would overturn Roe v. Wade? You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, the Supreme Court's bad, but they'll never do that. You know, yeah, I've read many articles where people were writing and saying they'll never do that because most people in the country support the right to, at least the right to choose. Well, guess what? They did it. You know, and that, you know, things of that kind are going to continue to happen at an accelerated pace. And, you know, so yes, it's true. The forces of revolution, in particular the RevComs who base themselves on the new communism, are very small at this time. That's a fact, you know. And we're not gonna try to, you know, bullshit people and pretend something other than what it is, because we base ourselves on a scientific approach to making revolution, which means actually dealing with the actual reality and telling people the truth about the actual reality. I've told this story before. There was a group. They know, I don't know if they're still around or not, but back in the 60s, there was this group called PL, Progressive Labor. I mean, you can imagine, they're supposedly a communist group. Imagine what kind of communism, what kind of group is supposed to be communist, calls itself Progressive Labor. I mean, come on. Anyway.
Wrong on two counts.
Leaving that aside, you know, like in the economism to the nth degree, you know, just like burying yourself in the narrow struggles, you know, of today. But anyway, one of their members got up at a rally, and I think it was actually they were being interviewed too, and I think it actually got into the New York Times, where they said, we have 10,000 members in Harlem. And a bunch of us said, man, what the f*** are you talking about? You don't have any f***ing 10,000 members in Harlem? And the guy said, yeah, I know we don't, but if we say it, maybe we'll get them. Well, that's not the way we're going to approach things, with that kind of opportunism. You know, you have to deal with the actual reality. So yes, the forces of revolution are small right now. The RevCom forces, basing themselves on the scientific method and approach of the new communism, are small. And, you know, if it were just a matter of, like, gradually accumulating forces, you know, a few today and a few next week and a few next year, and, you know, with the prospect that maybe in some, you know, never land of 70 years from now, maybe we'd have enough people to make a revolution. Well, yes, then you could say that would never happen. But, look, I made this point in 2020 when there was a massive upsurge around the murder of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. You know, I said, look around you. Nobody expected this kind of massive outpouring. And yet, here it came seemingly out of nowhere. But it didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of the underlying contradictions, the oppression of black people in particular and others, Latinos, Native Americans, and the brutal way in which this is daily enforced by murdering pigs. This was the underlying accumulation of contradictions and, you know, and suffering and anguish and outrage finally burst forth when this was just one too many. It's similar to what's happening in Iran now. You know, I mean, there have been many women dragged off the street by their morality police for years and decades. But finally, this one, you know, with this particularly brutal murder of this, yes, that's what it was. You know, you know, the idea of this 22-year-old woman who was perfectly healthy had a heart attack is outrageous, you know, and nobody believes it. Not even the people telling the lie believe it, I would imagine. Okay, but all of a sudden, things have reached another level. Now, I don't know where all this is going to go at this time. The forces of the ruling class there are still very powerful, but this has gone to a level beyond anything previously. And it's, you know, on the one hand, you know, You could say it's just one more thing. Here's one more woman dragged off by the morality police and brutalized, and it results in her death. But it was just one too many in the context of a lot of other things going on. You know, people are suffering economically and so on. It was just one too many. The same thing in 2020. There were millions of people in the street. What was missing then, and we have to fault ourselves in part for this, although we talked about revolution and put out revolution, we didn't really go and struggle with people about, you know, what this really shows is the need to get rid of the whole system. And you are not going to defund the police. You know, look at what's happened. You know, you got, the great Democratic hero, Joe Biden. The answer is not to defund the police, it's to fund them, fund them, fund them. What'd I say? Fund them. But that was a prevailing line. And so, you know, this thing got led off into a side, you know, side stream and, you know, a side street and didn't go anywhere ultimately, even though it was, you know, really heroic outpouring of millions of mm-hmm. people, which was supported by millions more around the world. Who predicted that a month before? I mean, yes, we've been talking for decades and mobilizing people in struggle against police murder for decades. You know, there's a whole national day of protest against police brutality and criminalization of a generation and repression. That goes back to the mid-90s. You know, but all of a sudden, a bunch of things came together. All right, you know, if the revolutionaries had been working the way we should have been, bringing revolution to that and struggling with people, not just about we need revolution in the abstract, but why these other avenues and lines and rows and programs were not going to lead things where they need to go. The question is, why should anybody put up with this kind of, you know, brutal murder time after time after time after time? Why do the parents and loved ones of these people have to shed these tears and cry this anguish time after time after time? Isn't it long past time to put an end to this completely?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what is going to be required to put an end to this and all the other outrages, which we also need to be bringing sharply to light? You know, the oppression of women, the absolute destruction of the environment, the threat of nuclear war going on, the persecution of the immigrants, and on and on and on. You know, the persecution of gay people and, you know, trans people and so on. You know, in the context of all that, we needed to be saying to people, there's only one solution to this. It's not an easy solution, but it's the only real solution. That's what a scientific approach tells us, because this is rooted in the system and we can show it. And the only way to get rid of all this is to overthrow this system. Now, that would not have led to a revolution right then, but it could have led to accumulating many more forces. And then the next time something jumped off, like what happened with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we'd be in a stronger position with more forces and more ability to impact that situation, so long as we were consistently going out there with revolution. And Lenin made the point, leader of the Russian Revolution and an important communist theoretician, made the point that in these kind of circumstances, which we're living in now, and it's important to understand, you know, decades of ordinary times get concentrated in not only in years, but in months and weeks. And that's what you saw in 2020 on a certain level, not yet to revolution, but that's what you saw. And that's what's going to be increasingly happening. The question is, are the revolutionaries, small as they are right now? Yes, we're going to be honest about this. We're not going to try to fool people. That's not scientific. That's not principled. But small as they are, can they go out and drive home to people this lesson and show it in a scientifically grounded, understandable way, not talking like, you know, well, you must understand it's the imperialist system that causes all these horrors in the world. And the first thing we need is a proletarian revolution, which first occurred in 1917 after the failure of the Paris Commune in 1871 and was taken to its highest level by the Chinese Cultural Revolution. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But to go out and in a living way present to people the actual reality of what this is all rooted in, why things are accelerating the way they are, how the ruling class is increasingly an antagonistic unresolvable conflict within itself, and how this provides opening for us to actually get rid of all this oppression by scientifically understanding that it's rooted in the very workings of this system, the very dynamics and the very relations of this system, and that we can mobilize and win over the forces, most of all people who are catching the worst hell under this system, which are millions and tens of millions, but also people from other parts of society who hate injustice and who want a better future for humanity and don't want to have nuclear weapons raining down on humanity, don't want the environment to be destroyed. We can win increasing numbers of them over, and it's going to all be very accelerated one way or the other. So we've got to go out with that understanding and give that understanding to the masses of people, like I said, in very basic terms and in everyday language, not in a stilted language that I was just, you know, mocking, to be blunt. But, you know, this is where building up the forces for revolution in a growing way. Today there are small numbers. Tomorrow there are, you know, hundreds verging on thousands. Then there are thousands. And when there are thousands, those thousands make millions sit up and take notice. You see thousands of people all together, you know, firmly convinced of the need for revolution, not in some sort of religious sense, but with a scientific foundation in basic terms. You see them on the political stage, influencing the political terrain, you know, the how things are shaping up. Millions of people start taking notice. And millions of people who are telling us today, oh, that'll never happen, start thinking a little differently, or at least questioning, well, maybe it could happen. And then, you know, the question is, do you have a leading force, a core leading this, that has the scientific method and approach and has an actual strategy and plan for how to build up the forces for revolution, how to work to create the conditions for revolution, carry out what we call the three prepares, prepare the ground, the political situation, prepare the masses of people, and prepare the vanguard leadership so that you can go all the way with revolution. You know, and people are going to start sitting up and taking notice. Wow, there are people out here and they're very serious about this, and they have a scientific approach which they can explain to me in terms that I can actually understand, and they've got a strategy and a program for how to go about this and how to win when the time comes. Not that they've given us a guarantee, but they have a strategy for how to go about winning, and they've got a whole vision and concrete blueprint for what to do when we do win, namely the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am Sansara Taylor. That was Bob Avakian speaking to the question, revolution sounds good, but how could it really happen? We're going to follow up on this with the conversation that Andy Z and I had, keying off these interviews that we did with Bob Avakian last year, including the topics that we explored, the experience of getting up close and personal with this revolutionary leader. And then we are going to hear from Atlas Winfrey, who is part of the Revolution Nothing Less crew. He's actually one of the main editors, both politically, but also technically. He does a lot of the work on the show, and he is going to share some of his personal reflections on the impact of the leadership of Bob Avakian, that impact on himself. That was Bob Avakian from the interviews that Andy and I did with him last fall. I want to encourage everybody watching, all of you, to go deeply into these interviews, all three of them that we did. You get a chance through these interviews to get to know Bob Avakian very intimately, up close and personal, how he came to be the revolutionary leader that he is, the things that shaped him. You get to know his sense of humor, and you get to understand how on fire he is, determined all the way through and through to make a real revolution, and how expansive his vision is of what this revolution is for. This interview is like nothing else, and so it's on our channel. I'm happy to announce, actually, I was thrilled to find out that we now have chapters and timestamps under each of the interviews so you can get a sense of what he gets into, what we asked him about, and what he explores, including he goes deeply into the Constitution that we were talking about earlier for the new socialist republic in North America, why he wrote the Constitution, what questions he had in mind, how he sees things like the rule of law and so-called victims' rights, the presumption of innocence, questions of democracy and dictatorship, so much more. You get a sense of it through the table of contents, what he gets into, and you get to dive in.
Yeah, and you get to, as we talked about last week on the show, and the week before, actually, you get a sense of the person, mm-hmm. which is why we had described the interviews as heart and soul and hardcore for revolution. We ask him at one point, why is it necessary to have a poetic spirit if you're going to lead a revolution? Actually, what he says is it's dangerous to lead a revolution or a movement for a revolution if you don't have a poetic spirit. He goes into this, and 2 weeks ago on the show, we played the very first question that you asked him, Sansara, about did he always feel this way about America? And it's very funny, but it's also a very illuminating story about how he changed that brings out how you can change too. And then at the very end, after three interviews over a period of time, I just asked him, you know, what sustains you? So many others have given up. And the answer was just incredible. And it was actually the feature of last week's RNL show. And then you and I discussed it some. And we came back and just played the conclusion. There's a whole thing that comes before it. It's about a minute and a half. I want to play that. But before we do, after we did this episode, Atlas, who's a key member of our crew, for those of you who watch the show regularly, you've seen him on doing various segments on our show. He sent us an email about how this affected him. And I read the email and I said, Atlas, you got to record that. We'll put it on the show. So he did that. So right now, Sansara, I want to go play that last minute and a half of the interviews of the question, what sustains you? And then go to Atlas's comment on this afterwards that he wrote to us, just as he wrote it.
And, the people that I care about, that I've learned about, not just the people I grew up with, but the people around the world that I've learned to care about, when I've learned about their situation. To me, for me to give up would be betraying all those people. It'd be like turning your back on your best friends. So it's fundamentally the science that's the foundation, and that you need to keep deepening and applying and grasping and learning, or else you will go off course. But there's also a thing that I think everybody who gets into this revolution becomes, feels. That right here, you feel like what people are being put through, you just can't go along with it. You just can't stand by and watch it happen. You can't live with yourself if you don't do everything you can, especially when you know it's unnecessary and a better world actually is possible. You can't give up. Yes, you can get discouraged. When there's defeats, when there's setbacks, big ones, gigantic ones, like when China went off the socialist road, was taken off the socialist road, and the revolution was betrayed there, and capitalism was restored, and it's emerged as an imperialist power instead of a revolutionary stronghold for the people of the world. Those things are discouraging, but you bear down with the science and you keep in your heart why you got into this in the first place and what it is you're in this for. And that's why I don't give up. So that's what I would say about that.
For those of us who have come to learn that the way things are in this world doesn't actually have to be this way, there is a fundamental moral challenge. Will we make peace with oppression? Will we make peace knowing that all the anguish, all the agony and torture that our species, all of humanity, all of what they're being subjected to is unnecessary? Can we make peace with all of that? Will we turn our backs on all of what people are going through for something as narrow as just looking out for oneself or seeking whatever illusory escape or whatever self-indulgent comfort? Or will we rise? Rise up on the foundation of what we have come to understand as true. That the world we live in really doesn't have to be this way. A far better world is possible. Will we rise to the challenge that face humanity and fight doggedly through every obstacle to do something that would mean so much to so many people all over the world? Let's really confront that B.A., Bob Avakian, has rescued the possibility of revolution. It is actually hard to really fathom how world historic it is what B.A. has done, that he has actually rescued for humanity the possibility of making revolution to get rid of this system. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to learn what happened in the first wave of socialist revolution and what B.A. has been doing during those times and ever since. When the world was demoralized and retreating, disoriented after revolutions, socialist revolutions were actually defeated and reversed, B.A. drew a line in the sand. He said, no further retreat will be tolerated. And he applied science, the science of Marxism, and fought ferociously for people to get clarity on what actually happened in that first wave and why did it happen. And then he fought doggedly, ferociously, and in the face of enormous headwinds to lead people forward. When almost the entire world, people all over the world, were declaring the death of communist revolution, when people were settling in, acquiescing, and accepting capitalism as permanent, they made their peace, they found their place, they gave up on anything else besides trying to sand off the edges, while humanity has ever since continued to hurtle towards oblivion. What B.A. was doing? Fighting to apply science at crucial turning points like this to sort out what actually happened in that revolution. What actually happened and why? Why were those revolutions defeated? What were the shortcomings in those revolutions that contributed to their defeat? Is capitalism really the only alternative for humanity? Is revolution really the solution? And if so, how could that revolution actually happen? How could it actually deal with the real errors and shortcomings of past revolutions? That's what I'm saying when I say that BA rescued revolution. Forward, 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 BA has been fighting. For him to give up on revolution, to give up on applying himself to these difficult and complex problems, would be like turning his back on his best friends. B.A. couldn't live with himself if he did that. B.A. couldn't live with himself if he gave up on revolution. And if he didn't take that stand, let's be honest, none of us RevComs would be sitting here today. None of us would understand what we've come to understand. And let's be honest, the situation for humanity would be quite bleak. So we have to say thank you, B.A. Thank you for not turning your back when things got difficult. Thank you for digging deeper and fighting to apply science. Thank you for carving out that path. What you've done for humanity really is so criminally underappreciated that you're so unknown and ignored. So maligned and slandered is so f***ing intolerable. B.A. stands out so singularly, and the challenge is to everyone. Can you think about why you would turn your back on this person? Do you get the gravity of what refusing to engage someone who's leading a revolution to emancipate humanity? Do you get what that really means? Because let's be frank, that would mean turning your back on humanity. That would mean accepting what people are being put through. That would mean accepting all the that people are going through when it doesn't have to be this way. BA's on the front line leading us forward and calling us to join him to do something that really means a lot. But to join him, first of all, means to seriously engage and take up the leadership he is providing. To join him means to fight for him to be known and his leadership taken up, and defending him against all the bullshit, lies, and slanders from all the haters and posers and all the rest. Joining him means to take up that science of the new communism, all while we're fighting to apply it. And knowing what I know about BA, knowing what I know about what's possible for humanity, I have a deep responsibility. A responsibility to him and a responsibility to humanity. And I'm rushing as fast as I can to join him at the front line.
That was Atlas Winfrey, part of the RNL show crew, in speaking to the impact that the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian has had on his life as he fights for a world without exploitation and oppression. I personally found that piece from Atlas quite inspiring. And finally, we'll hear an excerpt from the documentary film, Stepping into the Future.
The words of Bob Avakian have resonated with me more than anything that I've ever read. There was one part from his memoir that motivated me more than any other part of the book. This section says a lot in very few words that can help overcome defeatism, which seems to plague so many people that I've tried to reach in here. I'm one of three prisoners that received revolution in his yard. We're all in different parts of the yard, but all three of us come across the same defeatist attitude, even when we are able to convince others that the present economic system is our common enemy. The answers are usually the same. Yeah, but we can't do anything about it. I believe this goes a long way to combat that kind of thinking. I think of a conversation I had with a friend when I was a teenager. He was a little older than me and he was going to medical school. He was going to go into cancer research because he wanted to help find a cure for cancer. It has been many decades since that time, and while some advances have been made in treating cancer, it's still a scourge. It hasn't yet been eliminated. A cure, to put it that way, hasn't been found. But that person has been working in this field all these years, and I would never say that his efforts have been wasted just because cancer is still here.
The same applies to the question of uprooting, overturning, and abolishing these horrendous relations of exploitation, oppression, and plunder on which this system is based and on which it thrives.
The need to eliminate this system and bring something much better into being is even more profound than the need to find a cure for cancer. And if you're taking up a scientific approach to investigating, learning about, and changing reality, then you know that the means can be found to do that.
If you have had a chance to see the world as it really is, there are profoundly different roles that you can take with your life.
You could just get into the dog-eat-dog and most likely get swallowed up by it while trying to get ahead in it.
You can put your snout into the trough and try to scarf up as much as you can while scrambling desperately to get more than others.
Or you can try to do something that would change the whole direction of society and the whole way the world is. When you put those things alongside each other, which one has any meaning?
Which one really contributes to anything worthwhile? When I first read that a few years ago, it made my heart race. What I'm in prison for isn't important or uplifting, and it certainly didn't contribute anything positive. It's quite shameful, to be honest. I only wish if I had to be here, it could be for a sacrifice I made for the people.
Your life is going to be about something, or it's going to be about nothing. And there's nothing greater your life can be about than contributing whatever you can to the revolutionary transformation of society and the world.
To put an end to all systems and relations of oppression and exploitation.
And all the unnecessary suffering and destruction that goes along with them.
I have learned that more and more deeply through all the twists and turns and even the great setbacks, as well as the great achievements of the communist revolution so far. And what are really still its early stages historically.
Prisoners can really understand it when put in these terms.
With that said, I'm gone.
In solidarity from the state of Indiana.
From a California prison.
From a California prison.
All right, that brings us to the end of another show here on the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to finish with an exciting announcement. I previewed it before, but I'll say it full-throatedly now. The Revolution Nothing Less show at youtube.com/therev comes from which many of the segments on this show are drawn is now available as a podcast. You can find it on Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and many others. So please go listen, download the audio, share it everywhere, leave a comment, a like underneath it. let others know about it. And with that, I want to thank you for spending the hour with me. I want to thank Henry Carson, our assistant producer. I want to send my love to Michael Slate and remind you that the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. I will talk to you next week.
No walls or tanks, no nations, no nations.